All right, I want you to be finding Genesis. That should be easy to find. It's the first book in the Bible. And this morning, I want to introduce you to the brightest star in the Hebrew heaven. His name is Abraham, the friend of God. We just sang about that a moment ago. He's honored by the Jews. He's honored by the Muslims. He's honored by the Christians alike. And in Romans chapter 4 and verse 11, he's called the father of all them that believe. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, lists him among the heroes of the faith. So look at Genesis chapter 12 this morning, and we're going to start with the first four verses. And I'm going to be going fast. Got a lot of ground to cover, so I'll speak fast, you listen fast, all right? Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. The first thing we're going to talk about today is Abraham's response of faith. I want you to pay attention this morning because what happened to Abraham often happens to us. And besides that, God is going to hold you accountable for what you hear this morning. Not only that, he's going to hold you accountable for what you would have heard had you paid attention. So you need to listen up this morning. All right. The difference between the infinite and the finite is the difference between faith and unbelief. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that it is impossible to please God without faith. And Abraham is the father of the faithful. So let's talk about Abraham's response of faith. God spoke, and Abraham responded. That's faith. There can be no faith unless God speaks. And there can be no faith until you respond to what God says. That's what Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Faith is not a response to human motivation. So many people get involved in these motivational seminars where they teach you to think positively and to motivate yourself. Well, positive thinking and faith ought never to be mixed together. They're entirely different things. Now, it's okay if you're into positive thinking. As a matter of fact, I don't like to be around people who don't think positively. I've been around people who are so negative when they walk into the room, they just suck all the air out of it. I don't like to be around people like that. A couple of weeks back, we talked about the people who built the Tower of Babel. Back in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 4, they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. They were motivated. They didn't have faith. That wasn't faith. It was just human motivation to build a tower. But look what happened to Abraham in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of the country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, to a land I'll show thee. I'll make you a great nation, bless thee, make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So here, it's God who's saying, I will show thee. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will bless them that bless thee. Four times in Genesis chapter 11, the people said, let us, let us, let us, let us. And then we get to chapter 12, and God says, I will, I will, I will, I will. That's the difference between failure and faith. Faith is not in human motivation. It's not something that you cook up and then ask God to bless it. There can be no faith unless God speaks first. If God says, I will, and you respond to that, that's faith. Now, a lot of these joy boys, I call them on TV with their happiness cults, saying to people who have needs, oh, you want that? Well, just name it and claim it. I want to tell you something, friend. You're never going to claim anything unless God names it. They tried to name it and claim it over there in Genesis 11, and what they ended up doing was sitting in the pile of rubble from their Tower of Blunders. Not only is faith not rooted in human motivation, faith is not rooted in human merit. Before God called Abraham, I don't know if you realize this or not, before God called him, he was an idolater. He was a pagan living in Ur of the Chaldees, where they worshiped the moon god. Abraham had absolutely nothing within himself to commend himself towards God. God just came in and broke through the darkness of his heart and spoke to him. He believed God, but he had no merit of his own to offer to God. In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." So was Abraham made righteous by good works or joining a church or by getting baptized or by keeping the Ten Commandments? No, 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 and no. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Romans 4:4 says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." In other words, if you could be saved by working for it, then it's like saying that God owes you something. I did this, now God, you owe me this. I got news for you, friend. God is debtor to no man. God doesn't owe you a thing. Romans 4:5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith's counted for righteousness." So faith is not rooted in human merit. There's a lot of self-righteous people who are going to miss the blessing of God. But there are people who are, they're not nearly so outwardly righteous that are going to receive the blessing of God because they learn to believe God. You know, there are people who work their fingers to the bone doing church work, because they think somehow that's going to help them commend themselves towards God, but they fail to believe in God. It's time to stop trying people and start trusting. Faith isn't rooted in human motivation. It's not rooted in human merit. And you know what else? It's not rooted in human mentality. You know, sometimes the things that God tells you may not seem to make any sense. God told Abraham, "I want you to go to a land that I will show thee." In other words, I'm not going to show you right now. I just want you to start hot-footing it. I'll show you later. Bible says that Abraham went not knowing where. He just went. Didn't have to make sense to him. I can just imagine the scene. Abraham's packing his bags. Somebody says, "Abe, where are you going?" "Don't know." "Well, how long are you going to be gone?" "Don't know." "What are you going to do when you get there?" "Don't have a clue." "I'll tell you where you're going, Abe. You're going crazy. That's where you're going." "No. God told me to go. I'm going to go. I don't have to understand it. I just have to stand on it." See, the world says seeing is believing. That's exactly backwards. God says, believing is seeing. You believe it first, then I'll show you. Abraham was well established. He's better than 70 years old. He's wealthy. He's got a family. He didn't know where. He just knew whom. And so he stepped out. That had to be exciting. Friend, are you tired of living a dull and monotonous life? Day after day, you draw your breath, you draw your salary. But why don't you just cut loose and live by faith? You know, this story, I believe, was put in the Bible to encourage you to do just that. Was Abraham a fool to do this? Well, God said, if you go, I'll give you land. I'll bless all the nations through you. I'll make your name great. So let's ask the question, did God give him land? Yes, that's why Israel's in her land today. Is Abraham a blessing to all nations? Yes, he's a blessing to me because from him came the people who gave us the Holy Scriptures, and it's because of those Holy Scriptures I'm saved and standing here teaching those Scriptures to you today. Is his name great? Well, here we are, thousands of years later, still talking about him. I suppose his name must be great. The people in Babel said, we're going to build us a tower and make us a name. How many of their names do you know? But you know the name of Abraham. See, faith is a response to revelation. That's why we have the Bible, and these joy boys on TV, they don't like to refer to the Bible any more than they have to, and that's why so many of their people are floundering around like a ship without a sail, because they don't know how to have faith. I'll tell you why they don't have faith. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you don't have the word of God, you ain't going to have faith. You can't have faith until you saturate yourself in the word of God. Put yourself in the presence of God by opening your Bible and letting God speak to you. Not only is there the response of Abraham's faith, there's the relapse of Abraham's faith, because there was a time when Abraham's faith faltered. Look at Genesis chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 10. And there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, this is his wife, and they'll kill me, but save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass when Abraham was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didn't you tell me this was your wife? Why did you tell me it was your sister? I might have taken her to meet a wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her, go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, his wife and all that he had. Now, I'm not happy that Abraham's faith faltered, but I'm glad this story's in the Bible. Why? It encourages me. My faith has faltered at times. How about yours? You know, that's a wonderful thing about the Bible. When it paints a picture of a man or a woman, it paints them warts and all. Abraham's walking by faith. He responds to God without having to know all the whys and wherefores, and then a famine comes in the land of promise. And Abraham's right here exactly where God wants him to be, doing exactly what God wants him to do, but this famine comes. And Abraham is thinking, isn't this a fine kettle of fish? You know, I'm following the Lord. I'm doing what he wants me to do. And yet I'm in the middle of this famine. So I'm just going to hot foot it down to Egypt. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, in the Bible, Egypt is a picture of the world and sin. Abraham doesn't have any business going down to Egypt. Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1. Says, woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help. He knew that. In other words, when you've set your sails to follow the Lord, don't go running to the world for help when the running gets a little rough. Abraham took his eyes off the Lord and put them on his circumstances. And if we would have been there and scolded Abraham, we would have said, Abraham would have said after we scolded, he said, well, you know, after all, the Lord expects me to use my head. No, Abraham, the Lord expects you to look to him. Let me tell you how Abraham got into this mess. First, his was an incomplete obedience. Genesis 11, verse 31. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came into Haran and dwelt there. You say, all right, what's wrong with that? Well, go back and look at Genesis 12, 1 again. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. God never told Abraham to go to Haran, but that's where he went. God told him to leave his kinfolks behind. He didn't do that. He took his father's nephew. He did step out on faith, but he just went halfway to where he was supposed to go. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been to halfway Haran? See, Abraham took some things with him he wasn't supposed to take. Have you got any hangover sins? You know, some of you have said, I'm going for God, but you haven't gone all the way. You've got some of those hangover sins that you forgot to leave behind. You may have come down this aisle or one like it somewhere, and you said, I want to follow Jesus. And you invited Jesus to come into your heart, but you haven't been baptized yet. Or others of you, you've gotten saved, and the Holy Spirit told you to leave that behind, but you said, no, I'm taking it with me. And the result is you've had trouble your entire Christian life. Just like Abraham, you have trouble with a faltering faith. Not only was there an incomplete obedience, there was an incomplete dependence. When he got to Canaan, there was a famine. He should have said, this is where God put me. This is where I'm going to stay, even if I starve to death. I'm just going to trust God. Let's make application to that. When you commit to tithe and you lose your job, what are you going to do? Well, if you're smart, you're going to keep tithing. When there's famine in the land of plenty, keep on trusting God. You know, this was all a test of Abraham's faith. And what I have to say to you this morning is never doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. Next, there's an incomplete honesty. Abraham had a looker for a wife, and Max Factor hadn't even been born yet. She was ha-cha-cha. And Abraham said, when we get down to Egypt, Pharaoh's going to want to put you in his harem. And when he finds out you've got a husband, he'll just do away with me. So tell him, you're my sister. That was a half-truth because she was his half-sister. But learn this, people. A half-truth is a whole lie. When a man gets away from God, he has to start scheming and figuring out for himself, and this old coot was willing to put his wife in a harem just to save his sorry hide. And when Pharaoh found out what he had done, even Pharaoh was disgusted. Pharaoh told Abraham, just take all this stuff I gave you, just get out of here. We're having a lot of trouble here because of you. Abraham isn't the only one to do something like that. You might remember Jonah. He got so backslidden, he even made a whale sick to his stomach. But here we have Pharaoh, disgusted with a child of God. A Christian who's out of fellowship with God can do some terrible things. A backslidden Christian is even a disgrace to the world. But now I want you to see what it cost Abraham when his faith faltered. There are two things he gained and two things he lost. First of all, he lost time. See, the whole time he was down there in Egypt, he was out of the will of God. And when you're out of the will of God, that time counts for absolutely nothing on God's time clock. At the judgment seat of Christ, every bit of that time you spend out of the will of God is going to be like wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to be burned up for all of eternity. It's time lost. Romans chapter 14, verse 23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Abraham could have been storing up rewards all that time, but instead he lost that time. Not only did he lose time, he lost testimony. Abraham should have been able to witness to Pharaoh if he'd have been there under the right conditions, not down there trying to get help from Pharaoh with all of his disgusting schemes. He could have been a witness. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. If you're a backslidden Christian, don't try to witness to anybody. Do everybody a favor and keep your mouth shut. Don't be bragging about being a member of Webb Baptist Church if you're going to gossip or tell inappropriate jokes or display your filthy habits in public. That's why the church can't reach the world for Christ today. We're stumbling over our own soldiers. Because the greatest argument for Christ and the greatest argument against Christ is the life of a Christian. And when we testify, we need to not only be a witness, we need to be part of the evidence. But Abraham disgraced God before the unsaved. And if Pharaoh died and went to hell, and I'm sure he did, then it's at least partly Abraham's fault. There's not only our testimony before unbelievers to consider, there's our testimony before believers. What kind of testimony was Abraham to Lot? Abraham took Lot down to Egypt. Wasn't supposed to, but he did. And he finally got Lot out of Egypt, but he never did get Egypt out of Lot. Abraham was a much more mature believer than Lot was. And what Abraham was able to deal with, Lot wasn't able to deal with. And it became the ruination of Lot. Look at Genesis 13, verse 10. Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom and eventually ended up in Sodom, where he lost his family and lived a life of disgrace. We always want to blame Lot, but Abraham was partly to blame. Verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. He's talking about the Garden of Eden. It's like the land of Egypt as I come out of Zoar. So when Lot looked up, he said, wow, this looks like Egypt. When you as a believer allow sin to come into your life, you might come back, but some weaker Christians are going to be hurt by your little sojourn down to Egypt. The Bible tells us not to destroy our weaker brothers for whom Jesus also died. Abraham lost time, he lost his testimony, but he also gained two things. He gained wealth and a woman. Genesis 13, verses 1 and 2. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. He got all that from Pharaoh. Part of the wealth he gained was cattle. God didn't want Abraham to have cattle. He went down to Egypt a shepherd, but he came back as a cattleman. He went down as a nomad. He came back as a rancher, and those cows got Abraham into a bunch of trouble. There was a range war that broke out between Abraham's cowboys and Lot's cowboys. They got into an argument about grazing rights. There wasn't enough grass to feed all those herds that they got down there in Egypt. You say, cattle, sheep, what's the difference? Well, there's a big difference. You see, sheep browse, cattle graze. I've been down by the Box Canyon in New Mexico, down on fishing trips, and we have to go across that desert plain on the way to the Box Canyon, and there are still shepherds down there with their staffs, with shepherds. And you look at those giant herds of sheep, it looks like they're grazing on sand. But then you look a little closer, and there's some of that brown grass in there. And sheep have these incisors, and they can come in and snip that grass down very, very low. It's called browsing. But a cow takes his tongue, and he wraps it around the tall grass, and he jerks up and pulls it out of the ground. See, down in Egypt, there was tall grass. Wasn't that way back in the Promised Land where Abraham was sent by God? He wasn't supposed to have cattle. See, everything the devil gives you, he'll collect for. R.G. Lee, famous preacher from days gone by, he says, you can eat the devil's corn if you want to, but he'll choke you on the cob. See, if there's a famine, you can say, I'm going down to Egypt. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to get what I want. But everything the devil gives you, he's going to collect for. Abraham also got a woman when he went down there. Her name was Hagar. She was the concubine that conceived Ishmael, from whom the entire Arab race and all the problems in the Middle East and everywhere else around the world came from. That's Abraham's fault. We're sitting on a tinderbox today because of what Abraham did when his faith faltered. The pain in the side of the Jewish people for all these centuries came from Abraham, who went down to Egypt. Here's a man who couldn't trust God in the dark. He took matters into his own hands. He went to Egypt and lost time and testimony. He gained wealth and a woman. And oh, the tragedy that comes when we take our eyes off of the Lord and we put them on our circumstances and we try to do things our own way. But now I want you to see the return of Abram's faith. Genesis 13, 1 through 3. And Abram went up out of Egypt. And he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, unto the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. He went on his journeys to the south, even unto Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. The word Bethel, Bethel, means house of God. He returns from the land of sin back to the house of God. Verse 4. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that God lets us come back? God said, come out of Egypt, my people. Abraham could never come back to God as long as he was in the land of disobedience. Isaiah 55, verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Are you willing to come out of Egypt? Are you willing to cease your dependence on Pharaoh and the things of the world? If you want God to enrich you, you're going to have to forsake Egypt. See, the most miserable man in the world is not the unsaved man. The most miserable man in the world is the man who's out of fellowship with God. The saved man out of fellowship with God. He's like Abraham, who starts out for God and then he goes down to Egypt. He's got God in his heart. He's got Egypt under his feet and he's unhappy in both worlds. Don't you think it's high time you got out of Egypt? You're never going to know joy until you come all the way back to the Lord. It wasn't enough that Abraham left Egypt. He had to come all the way back to Bethel, the house of the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, I don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with girls who do. No. Fine, I guess. I got a dog that doesn't do any of those things either. It's not what you don't do. You got to come out of Egypt. And you have to go all the way back to Bethel. I don't know where your Bethel is. I don't know what the Lord wants you to do. But I know there's no joy and there's no restoration of your faith until you come all the way back to where God put you. There has to be separation, sanctification, and sacrifice. Verse 4, he went back unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. See, there's two things that stand out in the life of Abraham. The tent and the altar. The tent showed that he was a pilgrim, just passing through. The altar showed that he was trusting God with all of his heart and soul. And if you're suffering from a faltering faith today, why don't you come out of Egypt? Why don't you make that separation? Why don't you come all the way back to God and make that sanctification? Why don't you come to the altar which speaks of the sacrificial blood of Christ which cleanses from all sin? You see, God took Abraham back and he'll take you back. But some of you need to step out of the land of idolatry for the very first time and say, I'm going to go for the Lord. The reason Abraham's in heaven today is because God spoke. And Abraham believed. And God has spoken to you today. The question is, will you believe? You got to quit doing. So many of you are doing. You think you're earning brownie points with the Lord. You're not. Stop trying and start trusting. Come all the way back. Our musicians are going to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. And remember, this is God's invitation to your heart just as much as if he were standing right here talking to you instead of me. And that's kind of what's happening. I'm just a vessel through which the Word of God passes to you. Now it's the ball's in your court. You're going to have to decide what to do with it. Just know you're going to give an account for what you decide to do. An eternal account for what you decide to do. What are we going to sing, Gary?
174.
174. Let's stand. If you need to come today, you come.
Of
This is the last verse.
I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We just pray that you would help us to have the faith that we need to trust you in all things. And we thank you for your message. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join our hands as we dismiss.